All right. I'm looking forward to the conference, aren't you guys? I'm really looking forward to it. I've been wanting a live all-church conference for, these guys will tell you, for many years. I've been talking about that, wanting that, very desirous for it, and I'm very much looking forward. God's going to do some good things. I'm just telling you. He's going to do some very good things. There's going to be some really special things sown in this conference. So I hope you're getting excited about it, as excited as we are about it. And, you know, it's very interesting because, and I've been prone to do this much over the last couple years, year maybe, talking about the Chicago church. Dan's right. This is where it all started. And God did every bit of it. And we're blessed to be here, aren't we? You're blessed to be part of the work of God. I'm just telling you. Your eternal soul counts on it. So we're going to get into some things, and you know, this message is probably going to be a pre-cap, because I expected very much to hear Dan say that he was going to talk about some things of where we've come from. We might talk about some things of where we're going, and it's all going to fit together real nicely. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm going to read the whole chapter just to get down to the very last couple of verses. And what you're going to see over the last even 50 years in this realm, how we've seen glories change. How many knows that? Even the glory of our church here has changed over the last many years. And that's because of what God's done in his ministers. I want to be very clear about that. And you are the recipients of that. You're the beneficiaries of what God's done in us. I'm just telling you. And that's a glorious thing. You should thank God for that. All right, 2 Corinthians 3. Paul's talking here. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us. This is so amazing. His writing here is so amazing. Written by us, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. He's showing you the result of two covenants here. He's showing you where we've come from to what we now are and what we are becoming. That's the revelation of Jesus, isn't it? That which was, is, and is to come, James. It's always a becoming, bro. Where are we at? Now, if the ministry of death carved in letters on stone. Now, who's he referencing here? Is he referencing Moses? Where did God take Moses, Keith? Up into the mountain, Sinai? And by the finger of God, were not the commandments written by fire and stone? That was an old covenant, and Paul's showing you how God has progressed this covenant. He's progressed it from a law that was written in stone to something that has now been written on our hearts. That is an amazing thing. Now, if the ministry of death carved in letters on stone came with such glory, and it did, that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end. Did you hear that? God always had intention to bring it to an end. Why? Because there was a new forthcoming covenant, a new day, a new age. We're in that age now. Listen to this. The Israelites could not gaze because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? Did you hear that? If you think the law had a glory, Brad, the ministry of the Spirit has a far greater glory, bro. For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. It has to. It has to. The apostolic has to far exceed the glory of the previous covenant. It has to, for our sakes. He said, it was, for if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all because of the glory that surpasses it. Are you following this now? For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end, but their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted. Now I want you to ask yourself the question, does that veil remain on my heart today? Because I promise you this, we're here to remove that veil and take you to the next glory. But their hearts were hardened. To this day, when they read, that veil remains unlifted because only through who? Only through Christ is it taken away. Who's done all of this from the very beginning? Christ has. It's being taken away, though. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, what is removed, James? The veil. The veil's removed. When you turn to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is, the ESV says freedom, which I love that word, but it says liberty in the King James. We good with both? There's freedom. Even when Dan talked about what happened yesterday, the joy, the unity, what is that? That's freedom. Do you feel more free than you did even 10 years ago? Who did that? The Lord did that. He did it in his ministers of a new covenant. And we all, now listen to this, this is important. We all, God ain't leaving nobody out. Don't want to leave anybody out, Marty. Nobody. God hasn't forgot us. He remembers us all even if we forget. Isn't that amazing? When the Spirit of Jesus Christ is at work, there is no lack of remembrance. Where does a lack of remembrance work? In death, there is no remembrance. We're not in death now, James. So what does that mean? It means we remember. Did the Lord remember you? Oh, yeah. He did. We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. The same image. Whose image? The Lord's image. Wait, you mean God in Christ is reconciling the world unto himself, Keith? He's bringing that world in you to the image of Christ. He's bringing it to become just like he is. Is that written in the scriptures? When we see him, we shall be like he is. My goodness, man. I believe it was David that said, when I awake from sleep, I will awake in thy likeness. My goodness, man. That's Adam waking up to becoming Christ. Let me finish this. We all with unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Let me read that last part in the King James just to get a couple of references on it. Verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory. I figured I'd read it that way because that's how most of us are probably familiar with that, isn't it? Have you ever considered the glory you're in? You ever consider the glory that God's brought you from? We hear still among us, not from the eldership, but from among us, we still hear a lot about things like the law. But I just made it pretty clear to you from the writings of Paul that that was an old covenant that ministered to death. Who changed that? When did that change? The moment Jesus Christ showed up on the scene, that began to change everything. Why, James? Because he was bringing an end to that covenant. And in his death, burial, and resurrection, what did Jesus do? He was the beginning of a new covenant. A covenant that was going to come by way of impartation, the breathing of the Holy Ghost upon his 12 apostles, Paul being one that I'm considering here, because as we know, Judas was taken out of the way, having been the son of perdition. But Paul, now an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, did not walk with Jesus in the days that Jesus was in the earth. It came later, and when the Lord ministered unto him by first appearing unto him. See, that's the difference of an apostle. The apostles had Jesus appear unto them. That is so important because it's at the foundational level of everything God is doing even now. Everything Jesus did. You ever asked the question, why did Jesus not go into the world and be an evangelist and win as many souls as he possibly could while he was present in the day of his ministry? Why was that? Why did Jesus not go out into all the world and save as many as possible? Jesus did what Jesus came to do, didn't he? Jesus came to pass the torch. Jesus came to start a new day. Jesus come to start a new age. Now, I'm not expecting everybody to understand all the implications of that. We're not even going to teach in great depth on those things. I very much believe in days, though. It's very important to do so, especially at the level of eldership. You got to think about days. You got to think about eternities. You've ever heard me say, God changed my eternity? What am I really saying there? God changed my day. Took me from one day and put me into another day. It was a new day, a new covenant. Brought me out of death into life. When you back that up and you look at it from bigger picture, what's God done for Living Fellowship? We used to be called so many different things. I don't remember all the names. But you know what's special about the Living Fellowship? It was done in great meditation and prayer. Believe that or not, we had, I don't even know how many calls we had, bro, about the name Living Fellowship. You'd probably know. You or Brian. But we talked to the elders. We didn't just come up with that name. That was thought out, is my point. Why? Because it represents something. You look back just a few years ago, and you could walk into the building. It was like, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to offend, but it was like a cemetery. What did that? the ministration of death, condemnation, doubt, fear was running amok. Why? Because of everything that had transpired over the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years. But God had a plan, didn't he? God had a plan. And when the appointed time was right, God put all the pieces together. And God's word was just so simple, but evident. At that appointed time, I'm going to move by my spirit and I'm going to change the whole thing. Did God do that? Is God doing that? Somebody, Megan's down in Sunday school, isn't she? Where's that at in Joel? Let me read something to you guys here real quick. Where is that? Joel chapter 2 that talks about, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Good Lord, where's this at in this phone here? You know, they abbreviate the books of the Bible, so it causes me issues sometimes. What verse? 228. Let's get down here. Now I want you to put yourself in this place. Even if it's by prophecy, I want you to put yourself here. This is the word of the Lord in the prophet Joel. And he says, it shall come to pass. How many times in the scripture is it written, James, that it shall come to pass, or it came to pass because of what was written? These things had to take place because it was written. It was prophetic. You wouldn't have apostolic without the prophetic. I'm just telling you. There's a reason the prophetic came first. The prophetic came down the line to prep the stage for apostolic. That was God's order. That's how God did it. Those prophets laid the path, man. Why? Because a greater was coming. A greater was coming. John said, there's one greater than I that's now come. I baptize with water. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We're in a day where God's baptizing with Holy Ghost and fire. He says, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Do you guys think like that? Do you think generationally? Or are you still in the thought of, I'm just trying to get myself saved? I'm just trying to see if I can make it. I'm trying to hang on. Our dad would always stand up in church and testify, like, man, I'm going to tie a knot in the end of this rope and just hang on for dear life. And I used to listen to that testimony. I'm like, my God, man, is that the best it ever gets? I mean, is that what it's going to be? Like, we're just hanging on for dear life for the rest of our life? I don't think so. But that's where it was at that time. By the grace of Jesus Christ, we've come into a greater understanding of what God's life and purpose is. That's not an indictment. That's not a proclamation against. I'm just telling you the day has changed. Therefore, the glory has changed. Therefore, life has changed. And we don't think the same way. Why? Because God has become bigger in the mind, Marty. Become bigger in the thought. And when the life of Jesus Christ is increased in you, the glory increases in you. The thought and consciousness of God increases. Eternity increases in you. And if there's anything I want you to get out of this morning, that one word right there, eternal, eternity. I don't want you to forget that this is about eternity. It will always be about eternity. We have to have everything you see here. I thank God for it every single day. But I'm telling you, man, no matter where you're at in God, no matter where you're at in prophecy, at some point, this thing's going to click for you. It's going to come together and a veil's going to be lifted. And it's going to open your eyes and open your ears to an eternal heavenly realm. And you want that. You want that. Because guess what comes with that? the earth comes with that. The glory of it all becomes so wondrous. You can't really sometimes put it to words. But listen to what he says here in Joel. He said, your sons, your daughters are going to prophesy. Your old men are going to dream dreams. You got any old men in you? Or you just consider yourself an old man? I was talking to Dan a little bit ago. I was like, man, I'm getting old. I feel it too. I can't hardly have strength to do much of anything anymore. I let John do most of it. He does most of the work. I say, you just do it. I'll just watch you and I'll give you a thumbs up or something. Take you out to dinner, whatever it takes. Because you get old in this life. What about getting old in God? Don't you want to get old in God? How old are you in God? You say, I don't know. Well, we're not going to tell you. Not right now, anyway. But your old men are going to dream dreams. You want that. You desire that. And I'm going to tell you, there's some elders that are working, old men. There's old men in them dreaming dreams. That kind of dream changes everything. Those dreams are not just your casual dreams. Those dreams order things out in God for the purpose of eternity and the kingdom of Jesus Christ in you. Your young men shall, where's it at here? Shall see visions. We got some young men among us. We got some young men seeing visions. What do you guys think? Now, I'm not leaving you ladies out. I just showed you where he said your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. And he said, the servants upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I'll show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord. We talked about that a few months ago, the day of the Lord. And we instructed you in the Lord that Paul wrote his letter to not soon be shaken concerning the day of the Lord, because it had not come like some had thought. He said what? There must be first a falling away and that man of sin be revealed. Some of you are still waiting for the man of sin to be revealed. What if I told you that when the man of sin is revealed, God is preparing you to take you to greater glory? But I don't want that. I don't want the man of sin to be revealed. In fact, I've had people, I'm sure Dan could say the same, several. Keith, I'm sure people have told you, others, I wish to God you guys would have just never told me some of that. I was better off. I wish I didn't even know some of the things that I've heard now. Why would you think like that? Do you know there's a greater glory awaiting you on the other side of that revelation? When that man of sin gets revealed, do you know that God's got something greater on the other side? You remember Psalms 23? When I dreamed that, one of the dreams I had when David was talking about, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I was in a dream and I was standing on one side, on a mountainside, and I'm looking across at this other glorious place, this other glorious mountain full of lush greenery and all of these different things. But the valley was full of dead men's bones. There had been many that had gone this way and some didn't make it. They get lost in the valley. Where's it written? Many are in the valley of decision. Or is it indecision? See, there comes a time when you've made your choice. There's a time when you've already made your final choice. I'm not saying that means if the beginning's here and the ending's over here, that you've got all the way to the ending. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that even here, you've already made your choice that you and God are going all the way. And I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, Joshua and me has already proclaimed that we are going to serve the Lord, and we're going all the way with God. We're going to save a lot of things in this life too. Watch this now. He says, after this great and terrible day of the Lord, I don't know if you've ever dreamed things like the sun being darkened and these things that Joel's talking about. It's quite an event, quite a visage to see some of those things. But he says, and this is the important part, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So what did God do going back to Israel? How many times did Israel struggle? One, two, a few times, continually. How many times do we struggle? How many times do we struggle? You know, I was thinking, I was listening to some of the message Dan was talking about with the salt. I can't quote a lot of it because I was actually busy with some other things, Boise and so forth, had some great meetings there and stuff. But I was listening to some of that, and I got to thinking about that as salt being a preserver. You ever go to Cracker Barrel and they give you a choice of two different hams? They give you the honey ham choice or the salted ham choice. I don't know about you, Dan, but I get the salted ham every time. I don't want that honey ham. You kidding me? That's Jezebel's meat, man. She puts all that honey on there and it's so sweet it only tastes like ham. What are you talking about? Honey ham. You ever watch Christmas with the Cranks? They're killing each other trying to get that honey ham. That's what happens. Jezebel's meat, Jezebel's doctrine. Now, I promise you, we've eaten some honey ham in our day. Oh, we've eaten at Jezebel's table once upon a time. And it tastes good, too, when you're in that seduction. Now, here's the funny part. You can sit at the table of the Lord, and God brings some of those fowls and some of that meat to you, and you're not seduced by it anymore. You're eating that meat, and you're like, let's throw some salt on this. This is good. You're discerning devils, bringing judgment, enlightenment. In other words, God in you, Julie, is starting to define some of the ways you thought that's actually been working in opposition to what God's plan has been for you. And you sit down at the table and you're like, man, throw a little salt on this and we in good shape. But that salt preserves you. Back in the day before they had refrigerators, Naomi, you might even know a little bit about this with the Midianites. I don't know. Did you guys used to hang hams and put salt on them and preserve them and stuff like that? Or is that like hundreds of years before you were born? Oh, my God, man. What's wrong with me? But you do know what I'm talking about. I just realized she's probably not even that old yet. I mean, that was like 200 or 300 years ago. But hey, some people might still do it. The point is, you'd hang them hams up, and they'd pour tons of salt on them hams so they wouldn't spoil and go bad. What do you guys need? I don't care how you say it. Little salt, little light, little water, little Jesus, little bit of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you right now, man, you get a little bit of that, and that will go a long, long way. How do you think that even being born into this physical life, so far away from God, that we could be 4 and 5 years old in Sunday school? Because we're about a year and a couple of months apart, Dan and I. We could be in Sunday school and not know. At least I'll speak for myself, not know that the story of God, the story of Adam, was already in me. How could you know that? You think God had not preserved? You think God had not already salted us before this time began? Because there is no time in God, Ann. You know that, right? There is no time in God. God's been around for eternities of eternities of eternities. If you had to put it in time, you could throw billions and trillions of years. You wouldn't even scratch the surface. That's how long God's been around. I remember in a conference, Rick, one time talked about God showing him 13,000 years or 13 days in God. The Ancient of Days come to him, and it was his father. And he was showing him what he had become in God. Guys, that's 6 days beyond the seventh day of rest. What do you think you're going to be doing for eternity? Do we really wrap our minds around being in a moment like this and how important it truly is? Marty, God prophesied the prophet to you. The prophet. You think God's forgotten that? God remembered it this week. And it's not too late. There's a lot of things that God is doing. We talk about 50 years. We may, Lord willing, talk about the year of Jubilee when we get to this conference. And the impactfulness of that in God. God has kept us and preserved us even when we were stubborn, just like Israel. When we were wretches. Paul even said it after having had the Lord Jesus Christ appear to him. Oh, wretched man that I am. How many times do you think God's been merciful, Nancy? How many times do you think the Lord has visited us? I'm going to tell you this. God has visited some of you more times than you know. And it's like the Song of Solomon. You've already got your nightgown on. You're already in the bed. You're toasty. You've got the covers up under your feet. At least that's the way I do it. My dad was in the military. He said, you want to keep yourself real warm? You lift your legs up, let them blankets come down, and man, they just cocooned you. And you're like, so good. So good. Because my wife, she's got a freaking fan in the window, an AC in the window. It's like 33 degrees in the bedroom. So you got to be warm. Nonetheless, you're in the bed. I can't use that hand. That hand is hurt. You hear this knocking on the door. And you're like, who is that at this late hour? Knocks again. And you're like, oh my God, I'm already in the bed. I'm so comfortable. Wouldn't that suck in? Like somebody come over at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're like, my God, what's wrong with these people? I'm already in the bed. But here's the thing, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. And by the time they decided to get out of bed and go check the door, guess what was left? He was gone. You know what was on the doorknob done? Oil dripping. The Lord had been there. The presence of the Lord had been there. What am I telling you? We're almost done. What am I telling you this morning? I'm telling you the Lord has come. He's been here. His anointing has come for us. Prophecy has come for us. The Lord has visited us. And it's time to let everything that God has done over the last many years have great meaning, great purpose. The anointing is not to be taken lightly. Why? In that prophet of Joel, man, there is a great prophecy about the enemies of God and what God's going to do to them. And you see that final battle, that final war, which the Lord made, by the way. The Lord made that war, not the devil. You may think the devil made that war, but God makes that war. When those devils come up, when Gog gets all of Magog and they go up against that city, this is after the seventh day. Because he has to be released for a little season. You think you made it. You think you're clear. You think you're good. And here it comes, man, this great onslaught. But God says, we're done with this. And fire comes down from heaven and wipes out the whole lot of them. And then that lake of fire where that beast and false prophet already is, that whore of Babylon, that's her smoke is already going up. God takes that Satan that serpent, that devil, that ancient one, and he throws him in that lake of fire. And then the books are opened. See, your eternity has already been set. And as we have ministered, and I believe faithfully, we are ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ to you to the best of our ability. I'm including all of our elders. To the best of our ability, we are ministering life, Keith, at every turn. We're ministering that new covenant, which is set to not only preserve you and keep you through trials and persecutions, but it is to preserve you with an eternal seal of the Holy Ghost and make you a member of our body forever. And that is to say, until you come into your own body. Because many haven't come into their own body. Many have not even come into the remembrance of the day wherein they were created. But I'm telling you right now, the word of Jesus Christ is setting all of that in the heart. Whether it be by prophecy concerning that which was, whether it's prophecy on that which is or that which is to come, you are hearing the word of God freely. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. So my question back to you is, how many of you are with us? Because the Spirit of Jesus Christ is going to get you there. Not some physical man, but the spirit that is in that man. Not the avatar. That's not eternal. But the spirit that's in that man. That man back there. The spirit that was in Rick, who's now gone from this life. That Spirit of Jesus Christ in these men of God are getting you where you need to be in Jesus. And let me close with this. When that transpires, it's going to be a veil removed from your eyes. And your eyes will be open to see things that you've longed to see, but have not been able to see. And I'm going to say it like this. When you see that eternal realm, guys, it does not hold a candlestick to what you have seen in this realm. That realm is beyond comprehension at times. You just got to be there and experience it. But when you see it, God begins to enlighten you, and it changes the glory. It changes you, even said in Hebrews, to a better resurrection. There is that. And it brings you into places in God that you might have never actually even entertained, because you don't know what you don't know. But when God brings it to you and he says, come on up, let me show you things which must shortly come to pass, because a door is opened in heaven. And you begin to remember the histories. Eternity past. Oh, it's important. It's important to remember that which is past, because there's some things required there. Then he shows you the things that are right now. Then he begins to show you some things that are. This could all happen like it did for John in the book of Revelation. In one great visitation, we talk about it happening in one night for him. God showed him these things. These other men of God would have to say it their way, how God did it for them. But I'm telling you right now, God is among us. He's with us. He's in us. And he's in us for this purpose. You think the glory we've come to, that we've reached the end? Not even close. We haven't even scratched the surface yet. It's going to get even better. I'm telling you. That's the word of the Lord. You guys good? Any questions? Comments? Maybe we'll have questions tomorrow night. Who knows? Might be a miracle. Everybody's like, nope. I got to roll on this a little bit. I got to mull this over. Well, don't think too hard on it. How about that? Who's ready to go eat and come back and work in the basement? Three hands. Thank you, Don, Steve, and Dan. All right, guys. We love and appreciate you guys. God bless you.